to show this in all simplicity and to see it in all simplicity and not to be too complicated. The reality has to actually be a little bit easier. I don't want us to get lost in all this complexity, and then in the end we don't see anything anymore. We have to see how important this priestly service is, and not just for us, but much more for God, and for God's plan, to fulfill God's plan. We can't fulfill God's plan without this priestly service. If we are not priests or are priests and do not carry out this service, then he by no means can fulfill his plan. It is impossible. And in the end, we also see that it was impossible for God to do it with the children of Israel. And it's really a shame. One can't even describe what they missed out on. But on the other hand, we have to realize that in the same way, we will also miss out if we don't pay attention to and treasure what God has intended and planned. Can you imagine the trouble God went through? With Isaac and Jacob and the 12 tribes of Israel, how he led them out with so much effort and brought them through the Red Sea, 40 years in the wilderness, and the entire generation could not enter in. That is a real shame. It's indeed a shame. And after they entered into the good land, no one cared about this. What should God do? Force them? He doesn't force people. He doesn't force anybody. Sometimes I wish he would force us. Because without pressure, nothing happens. This is just how we are. We're such fallen people. And at the end, not just us, but the entire Christianity, when we look at it, we see that it's such a sad situation, and I don't say this as criticism, but it is indeed this way. And we understand more and more that this building of which we have spoken of so much, this building, no one can do it. Only the Lord alone can do it. And in the last 50 years, the last half century, we have seen so much destruction. People tried to build, and in the end, what they built was destroyed. And how much did they build up and then get destroyed again? I've seen this so often already. It may be okay for a while, maybe 10 years. It's built up for 10 years. Maybe from 1951 to 1961. And at that time, when I was in Manila, the church was well known as those who knew the truth. And if someone wanted to know the truth, the deep truth, and not such a superficial truth, one had to go there. But then at the beginning of the 60s, there was an explosion. Everything was destroyed, and so quickly. A shaking came, and then everything was gone. It's really a mystery, a riddle, especially for us young people at that time, at the beginning of the 60s. And there was a huge destruction, a huge earthquake. It started in Manila and spread through all of Southeast Asia. The enemy doesn't want to just destroy one church, but he wants to destroy everything at once. And he was able to do it because much was built with man's hands. So everything that is built by man's hands, or when we use our hands and in God's work, then we make God's work our work. And then at the end, we are responsible. And at the end, it becomes our building. Then surely no stone will remain upon the other, just as the Lord himself prophesied. Don't think that it's God's building. It will remain. It will be constant. God even invited people who can destroy well, such as Nebuchadnezzar, like Titus. The Lord will really shake everything. After we read Hebrews 12, yeah, I always knew this verse. I knew Hebrews 12 cited this verse from Haggai 2. And I thought, surely, for sure, this will not happen to us. The Lord will destroy everything but his church. Nothing like this would happen to us. I was wrong yet again. And how great was this fall? And this happened many times, and in various situations, I have seen how things were destroyed again. And I always asked, how come? Why? We speak so much about the building up. And due to one small thing, everything falls apart. So I still remember in 1989 there was an earthquake in Los Angeles and there was a lot of damage in the city. And Japan at that time was laughing a little bit and said, see, even though they had such good standards or took such good measures against earthquakes, this still happened. But then, afterwards, in Kobe, in Japan, the damage was citywide. Everything fell apart and fell together. So, in the same way, in the church, we always thought it wouldn't happen to us, and it would only happen to others. And then when it actually happened to us, then it was a huge shock to us. Lord Jesus. God's word will indeed remain steadfast. Whatever he has spoken, he will fulfill. He will shake it again if necessary. And there we really have to learn. We have to learn to build something which will remain. Something that will remain in eternity. And John 15 also speaks of the vine. Yeah, he speaks concerning the vine. And we are the branches. And what type of fruit should we bear as branches? Remaining fruit. Not just fruit, but remaining fruit. The Lord doesn't just want fruit, he wants remaining fruit. And at the end of this age, we have to say, Lord, we want something that remains, that abides. And we really have to pray in these days, Lord, we want to see that you build something that abides until you come. This is what we really want to see. And so when we read the entire Bible, let's skip over and also speak more concerning the churches. I want to continue to speak about the building of the Lord and how the church is built. What is the most important thing in the building of the church, or the most important matter? Is it one city, one church? This is not the emphasis of the Bible. It is not emphasized at all. It is simply an existing fact that this is how the Lord builds his church. But only if the Lord is the one who is building does this have meaning. But what is the emphasis in his scripture concerning the building? We started with the tabernacle. The materials, that was emphasized. See, take heed how you build, with what materials. You cannot build just with anything. For sure you cannot build with the flesh. And in Exodus, let's come to Exodus 25. The Lord said to Moses first, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering from everyone who gives it willingly with his heart. The Lord wants us to give willingly, without being forced. He doesn't want to force anyone to do anything. That's not of any value to him, especially for the building. especially for the building of his house, he does not want to force anyone. But he shows us what he needs and what he wants, but he does not force anyone. And this is the offering which you shall take from them, gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood. Where do you think Paul got this concept of which he spoke of in 1 Corinthians 3 about how we should build with the church? If anyone builds, he should build with gold, silver, and precious stones. And onyx stones and stones engraved on the breastplate. All these wonderful, precious stones. For Paul, this was not just a teaching. He applied this very practically for the building up of the church. Otherwise, he wouldn't mention this. He mentioned it, yet he did not elaborate. And he did not explain much in much more detail. Sometimes you don't need to explain everything. Sometimes we really try to explain too much. What shall we do? Maybe we should just all go home and ask the Lord. That actually is good enough. Paul had all of this within his heart. He knew the scripture. And indeed we see that the New Jerusalem is made with gold, silver, and pearls, and with precious stones. And with such materials, we should build the church. We cannot build with our own concepts or our own capabilities or our own human nature or our own character. We need acacia wood. Lord Jesus, what shall we do? Because without acacia wood, what kind of wood would you use instead? The Lord says acacia wood. The Lord wants to use a special type of wood. So can you imagine this entire building of the tabernacle at that time, what Moses built at that time, he had to build exactly according to the heavenly pattern. It was very strict and strictly commanded. God commanded it. It was a God's command. And do you build exactly according to the heavenly pattern which you have seen? Hebrews 9 says, or in Hebrews 9 we see this exact matter, that it is so important. Moses didn't just build anything. And the sanctuary, this part is called the sanctuary. Why is it called the sanctuary? The first part is called the holy place. The second part of this sanctuary is called the holiest place. And if this is a picture of the church, then we have to see that the church must be holy. Many of us don't even have this sense that the church has to be holy. Everyone does whatever he wants to do. You can do whatever you want in the church. You can build with your own concepts, with unholy hands. We build with my opinion, your opinion, Lord Jesus. It has to be sanctified for the Lord. And in its nature, it has to be holy. And where the ark is, this is called the most holy place, or the holiest place. Today, when you come to the meeting, do you have a sense that this is a holy place and that there's a holy atmosphere? Or do we come there to argue? I've already seen meetings where there's really a lot of arguing and accusations. No one has the fear of God. Okay, if we're not yet holy, then at least we need to have the fear of God. But the entire place is called the sanctuary. First of all, it is for God. It has to be separated and consecrated for God. It has to be holy. But often we really don't even have this sense. We simply come, and then we just come right to the meeting. And no one has the sense that I am coming to meet this holy God. And at that time, no one was able to enter to the holy place except for the priests. And no one was able to enter the holiest place except for the high priest, and just once a year. Why was it so strict? What did the Holy Spirit want to show us through this? So we really have to see what we are dealing with and whom we are dealing with. We are dealing with the Holy God. And Titus, or rather in 1 Peter chapter 1, it says that we have to be holy because He is holy. God is holy. We deal with the church as if we're dealing with a club or an association. Like a non-profit organization. Sometimes the church is not just the church, it's even something that is mean, because it's a play on words. In German, the word for church is Gemeinde, and it sounds like the word that also means mean. They sound really similar in German, the word for the church and the word for being mean. And it also is a play on words with a word that means meaning. Sometimes we don't even know what the church means anymore. We're not sure anymore. May the Lord really have mercy on us. no wonder that Paul says that God wants a holy church, a church that is holy and without blemish, glorious, without wrinkle, without spot. Can you imagine this? And I think as Paul wrote this in Ephesians 5, he really had this sanctuary before his eyes. Can you imagine it? If you have this pattern, this heavenly pattern before or in view, and you enter into this sanctuary, what do you see? It is glorious. You see gold all over. You see, wow, this wonderful, this beautiful covering. And you see the cherubim. You see the glory of God. It is so wonderful. And you have a really holy sense, feeling. It is without blemish. Everything is overlaid with gold and made with acacia wood. And out of this pure, white, fine linen, you see this veil. This veil is so beautiful. It's made with purple, blue, and scarlet. And cherubim are woven in. You can't do just whatever you want there. And with this golden lampstand, and with this light, and the shining gold, it is indeed really glorious, holy. And you see the glory of the Lord there. Don't you have such a sense when you enter into the sanctuary? Unfortunately, we don't really have this in view, because if we did, we would see, wow, that this place is truly holy. And when we invite guests to the meeting, what do they sense? They, in the first and foremost, have to have this sense that this is a holy place. And let me speak first concerning the wood. This wood is certainly the humanity of the Lord, without a doubt. We have a song that talks about the ark being made of acacia wood. Hymn 27. We don't sing this too often anymore. And we haven't sung this at all, actually. Maybe in the last few years we've sung this. But before that we didn't really sing it because no one was interested in singing it. Because for us, this is already old, passé. We don't need it anymore. But the Lord, He only builds with this type of wood. He only builds with the humanity of the Lord. Without this material, nothing would stand there. The sanctuary will not be able to stand very long without this acacia wood. Acacia wood is free of corruption, free of termites and worms. It is indeed free of all worms. The termites don't like this type of wood. It doesn't taste good to them. But your humanity, it tastes good to the worms and to the termites. Believe me, it really tastes good for the worms. It's no wonder that when a person dies, all the worms come out. And where do the worms come from? The worms were already in there. And in our fallen humanity, we really have so many worms, and sooner or later, the worms will come out. Sooner or later. Don't be surprised when there are so many problems. Why? Because we have so many worms in our humanity. We have the wrong humanity. It may work for a while, but after a bit, then the worm will start to multiply. If it's not dealt with, then the worms will multiply. Recently, a couple of weeks ago actually, I hired someone to paint the wooden frames outside my house. Because California actually is very well known for termites. And I asked the person who is dealing with the termites, who comes and checks my house for termites every year, I asked him, why do you think God created termites? Why did God create termites? And he jokingly said, so we can have a job. I told him, nope, I see it differently. God wants to show us through this that we need a special type of wood for the building of His house. In order to build His house, you cannot use your own humanity. And as this person was there to check the wood around my house, there was a panel of wood by my garage, and on the outside it looked very good because it was painted over very thickly and the paint was still there. It looked very nice. But as this person touched it and poked it with his finger, it was like paper. And then he worked on the wood even more, and I really have to say, I've never seen so many termites. My hair was standing on end. I don't like worms. I don't like termites. I really was shocked. This is the truth. Lord Jesus, nothing remained. Everything had to be taken away, and these termites had to be killed with a special substance. And not only the termites who were there, but we had to use a substance to really kill the entire colony of termites. Otherwise, they would go into other places. At the end, you have to really take a whole new piece of wood and replace it. So why do you think God wants to build with acacia wood? Do you think God would want to overlay our humanity with gold? To overlay it with gold? Yeah, it shouldn't just be gilded, because this is not such a good word. Just like Babylon, it's just outwardly covered with gold. But God wants the humanity of the Lord, so that the gold would remain. God doesn't want to build, or he would not overlay any other type of wood. He only wants to overlay the acacia wood. Because if any other type of wood is used, then you think everything is okay from the outside. But inwardly, it's not okay. God is not dumb. If we want to overlay wood with gold, it has to be acacia wood so that it can remain and it won't become rotten. The old man is full of corruption. It is made of dust. It is incapable and unsuitable for the building of God's house. If we don't see this, then we think we are building. We think, yeah, God needs me. And we always say, yes, we are members of the body and I can be just as I am. But at the end, and in the end, we are all so corrupted, and he needs only to shake a little bit. And then, maybe on the outside it looks very nice, just like this piece of wood. It had a lot of nice paint over it. But in the end, when you poke it with your finger, it is full of worms and like a piece of paper. This is our situation. So, in the first place, this material is important. Our humanity is incapable. And the more you build, the more it falls apart. It will not remain. So, only acacia wood. We don't want German wood, American wood, Asian wood. It doesn't even matter what type of wood. We need the new humanity. We need the humanity of Jesus Christ. And now you understand why the meal offering is so important, because we daily need to not only experience the humanity of the Lord, we need to let our humanity be replaced by His. We talk a lot about the cross. But it's only the cross of Jesus. It's always the cross of Jesus. But some people say, well, in Matthew 16 it says to carry your own cross. But your own cross does not mean your personal cross, that you yourself are hanging on the cross. You have to clearly read what it says in Galatians. It says the cross of the Lord. But maybe for you it looks a little bit different than it does for me in our experience. But regardless of what it looks like or how it manifests itself, it is still the cross of the Lord. I have been crucified with Christ. You alone cannot be crucified by yourself. It doesn't work. The Lord resurrected on the third day. You in 3 seconds. You don't even need the 3 days. You only need 3 seconds. And then you're alive again. I mean, your flesh is then alive again. Some people say, I love the cross, the cross, the cross, the cross. But it's actually their own cross. And it does not work. And it works only to a certain extent. And it doesn't last. It doesn't even last, yeah, maybe it lasts only 3 minutes. No, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. And this is important. And the second part is even more important. It says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And this is the result of being crucified with him. And in Galatians 5, it says those who are Christ's have been crucified with Christ. How can you experience the cross without Christ? It is not your personal, individual cross. In Galatians 6, what does Paul say? It says, I boast in my cross. What does he say? He says, in the cross of whom? The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes people talk about the cross and I wonder which cross. What type? Which cross? At the end, they turn out to be the cross for other people. No, it is not this way. Our humanity is not qualified. There is only one solution. Let the Lord replace our humanity and do what he has already accomplished on the cross for us. Only the humanity of the Lord will God use for the building. And therefore, no one can build anything. Only the Lord can, because only through his humanity can it be built. And when we don't use this type of wood, sooner or later, the worms will come out. That's how it is. And so, my house, even the wood that was on the second floor had to be replaced. And we need the replacement. And we don't need, and we shouldn't be replaced with the same type of wood that we had before. We need a new type of wood. We need the humanity of the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, this type of wood is what God needs. And only with this wood, only this type of wood will God overlay with gold. This is so wonderful. This is really very important. Because only this type of wood, according to the measurement of the Lord, will stand. It is 10 cubits high, not 9, not 8. We shouldn't say, oh, let's save on the wood and make it only 8 cubits high. No, it has to be 10 cubits high. Do you think the measurements are not important? Some people take offense when we talk about the measurements of Ezekiel's temple. Oh, these measurements, they don't help us. We don't want them. Maybe it's not important for you, but it is important for the Lord because it's not your building. Yeah, if it's your building, then yeah, you don't need the measurements and you can build according to your own measurements. But this is the Lord's house. This is the house of God. Woe to us if we dare say that these measurements are useless. Why did God go through the effort of giving us the exact measurements? Do you think God would give us a word that is useless? Paul said, all scripture, and this includes the measurements, all scripture is God-breathed and profitable. But some people say it's not profitable, and we don't want these measurements. We don't need them. We need to treasure every single word, 10 cubits high. And only the humanity of the Lord can fully fulfill these 10 cubits and can bear these 10 cubits. No one has this perfect, complete number, 10 cubits. No one can reach this height. Only the Lord. Only the Lord can bear this responsibility towards God and man, like these 10 commandments. Can you fulfill all these 10 commandments? Can your humanity do this? What measurement do you have? I tell you, if the termites have eaten all this wood, then what's left is not even 1 cubit high. At the end, you have nothing. So, this wood that I had in my garage was about this high, but at the end of the work, nothing was there. It was empty. It was like paper. Lord Jesus, I really had this inward sense. This is how my humanity is. It is completely not qualified. Indeed, truly incapable and not qualified. Do you think God just thought about, made up these 10 cubits? No, he didn't just come up with it out of nowhere. Only the Lord can fulfill all the righteous requirements of God. Who is so righteous in the church? Everything that has happened in these last days, where is the righteousness? What a fallen humanity is this. And I don't mean to say that my humanity is better, but our humanity is fallen. This humanity from the first Adam is fully unqualified. It's not no wonder that after so many years, so many people come and so many people go. And where's the church then? Where does the church end up? Then we have to ask the Lord, what have we done wrong? And the Lord has to then say to us, you are wrong because you are of the wrong material. It's not about what was done, but it's about who we are. We are the wrong material. Completely not qualified. And the width of each board is 1.5 cubits. Why 1.5? Where does this half come from? Because it wasn't just one board. But there are many boards standing together. This means that each one of us has to display this board. And 1.5 plus 1.5 is 3. And this 3 signifies the triune God in the power of resurrection. And this is the building, our building. If we want to be built up together, we need this wonderful wood and not our own wood. Then when we are built together, there has to be the number 3. And none of us is perfect in ourselves or complete in ourselves so that we can fully lay hold of everything. We need one another. You need at least one other piece of wood next to you. Don't think you're the boss. The boards. How many of them are there altogether? We have to see all of these measurements. It is so important. 30 cubits on the north side, 30 cubits on the south side. These are 15 boards. So the numbers 3, 5, and 10 are always there. Is that a coincidence? You think God can't measure? We have to see that there is a wonderful spiritual meaning about how God builds and how he measures. And in the New Jerusalem, which we see in Revelation 21, it is measured with a golden reed. You build without measurements. You build whatever you want. It's okay like this, it's also okay like that. And you build according to your own concepts, but not the Lord. Everything will be measured. Even the river will be measured. We see this in Ezekiel. And the measurements in Ezekiel are so clearly shown. But we, according to which measurement do we want to build? We have to learn to build according to God's measurement. And this is very, very important. And we see 30 on the north side and 30 on the south side and 10 cubits on the west side. Praise the Lord. And the Lord has to show this to us very clearly, It is very important. Very, very important. The Lord must grant us grace to see this. So on the west side, how many boards are there? There are 30 cubits on the north and the south side. And on the west side, how many boards are there? 6 boards plus 2 corner pieces. The Lord didn't give us any measurements for the corner pieces. But the 6 boards, He gives measurements for these 6 boards. So we have to clearly see that everything is done according to God's measurements. And together, you will see that in this sanctuary there are 3 cubes. 10 times 30 cubits. Three cubes. 10 times 10 times 10. And then you have 3 of these. It is a number full of the number 10. And the Holy of Holies is 10 times 10. Everything is according to the Lord's measurement. Everything according to the Lord's measurement, and we all have to see this. The building is not according to our own concepts. The measurement is different. It's according to His measurement. The wood, the materials, they're all different. And we also see the coverings. We also see something wonderful. How many coverings are there? How many layers are there? 4 layers. The first 2 layers are for the sanctuary itself. And the other 2 are coverings that are like a tent. So there are 2 and 2. 4 coverings altogether. 2 inner coverings, 2 outer coverings. And with all these materials that the Lord wants, they were made. The innermost covering is the most beautiful covering. You have the color white of the fine linen, and then you have blue, purple, and scarlet. How many colors do we have in the church? Which colors do you like? Which colors do you like? Oh, Lord Jesus, this shows that only the Lord has all of these colors. This pure linen shows how righteous the humanity of the Lord is. This pure linen, are you that pure? Are you righteous? Who is so righteous? Tell me. No one is. No one is righteous. No, not one. But the Lord, He is so righteous. In the house of the Lord, we have to be so righteous. We cannot deal according to our own righteousness, but according to His righteousness. No wonder Paul says he doesn't want to be found in his own righteousness. which actually is unrighteous. We think we are so righteous, but we need the righteousness of the Lord. This wonderful fine linen, if this is missing in the church, is it still the church? Do you think the Lord would want to live there? Would want to dwell there? If it were wool? Or if it was made out of nylon? Or made out of polyester? Or out of plastic? Plastic materials? You think you would want to, we should use plastic for this inner covering? Or maybe we should make it in dark brown. That would be nice. Or? I'm sorry, that's not the color that the Lord wants. And blue? Does blue have a meaning in the Bible? Of course. It is heavenly. It is a heavenly color. And who among us is a man who has descended from heaven? Who is capable of having this blue color? Even if you try to paint yourself blue, you're black inside. And purple. What does this purple color signify? It is a royal color. That means the Lord is our King. He reigns. Who reigns in the church? We want to reign, but we have no purple color in us. And this is how the Lord wants it. He wants purple. The Lord is so kingly. Yeah, praise the Lord. And scarlet. This is a color of salvation. He alone is our salvation in the house of the Lord. This is what the scarlet color means. And this entire combination of colors, who possesses this combination? Do the elders have this combination of colors? Who has this combination of colors, if not the Lord alone? That means this covering, the covering of the sanctuary, is really something wonderful. And it is woven with cherubim. Without this material, with pure fine linen and with all these colors and embroidered, woven with cherubim, then you would not see the glory of the Lord. Yeah, you could try to weave cherubim in. But they would all end up flying away. At the end, it would turn out to be a duck instead of a cherubim. Maybe it would turn out to be a crow. Not cherubim. We have to see all of this. Otherwise, we won't understand what it means when he says, I want to have a glorious church, or holy and without blemish. You don't need to paint something if it's already overlaid with gold. No one does that. We need to have such a sanctuary. This is so wonderful. The other coverings, we can have fellowship about them later, but these wooden boards, what are they standing on? Sockets. Every socket is a talent made of a talent of silver. How much silver is there? With 20 boards here and 20 boards there, and then 8 boards on the west side. And what does silver stand for? The redemption of the Lord. It is the ransom. Who can pay this ransom? Who? What would you pay for the redemption of your brother? And who can pay this price? Only one can pay this price. Only this one. Do you think it is easy to build this sanctuary? How much salvation do we have in the church? There is only one who is capable of saving us to the uttermost. No wonder Paul says that we need to build with silver, with gold, silver, and precious stones. Because without these materials, we cannot build. We build with teaching, doctrines, testimonies, and a lot of singing. We would even sing 1 hour until we all have lost our voice. And then we think this is the building of the church. But no one thinks about all these wonderful materials. And this veil is made of the same materials as the covering. And Hebrews says that this veil is the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this shows that all of this is the Lord Himself. What shall we say? How can all these wooden boards be held together? With nails? No, without nails. And we see, wow, how wonderful is this? We see these 5 bars. There are 5 bars, and these bars also have to be made of acacia wood and have to be overlaid with gold. And And altogether, there are 5 bars. And this middle bar goes through from one end to the other. And each board has 2 feet which stand in their respective sockets. So you have 20 boards on one side. So all 20 boards. And they're standing on wonderful sockets of silver. And here we see the middle bar goes through with golden rings. Golden rings on the boards. And this is what holds them all together. And the other 4 bars, there are 2 bars on the top and 2 bars on the bottom. There are 5 bars altogether. 5 is the sum of 1 and 4. 1 middle bar and 2 bars on top, 2 bars on the bottom. So these are how the 20 boards are held together with golden rings. So what holds us together in the church? The elders? What holds us together? The obedience towards the elders? The golden rings are what hold us together. And in the Bible, we see that it is the Holy Spirit who truly holds us together. The oneness of the Spirit. And the Lord is the Spirit. And these rings are golden. Everything that holds these boards together is pure gold. And this bar, this middle bar, has to be pulled through from one end to the other. Oh, Lord Jesus. Only if we build in this manner, only then will it last for eternity. Otherwise, it'll fall apart. Can you imagine? It's not that easy. This is how the Lord built his church. He built it upon silver sockets with boards made of acacia wood overlaid with gold. And rings? How many rings? We all need this. We need the 3 rows of bars. And among the bars you have the number 3, number 1, and number 4. All of this has a meaning. So this shows us that God is the one who holds us together. And with us together as his creation, which is signified by the number 4, and the number 3 is also there included. It is truly not according to our own concept. This number 3 shows us that he always builds with the power of resurrection, and there's no trace of death. There's no death in this sanctuary. death is the most defiling thing. This word defiling is not just to be spotted with something, but it's really like you're made filthy. It's worse than sin. If sin is already bad, then death is even worse. And that's why we see everywhere in the sanctuary, there is the number 3. Do we build the church in such a way? Or do we build only upon the principle of one city, one church? One city, what kind of church? At the beginning it looks nice, but at the end it looks horrible. It's shocking. Are you not shocked? We were all shocked when these things happened. So this building, and it's truly not about knowledge, and that's why I'm trying to avoid explaining too much or saying too much. We need to have such a consciousness. We need to have this sanctuary in view. And we need to see that when we want to enter this sanctuary, we cannot simply do as we wish. We need to have the fear of God. We need to have awe within our hearts. Because God dwells there. To see the sanctuary alone, this already causes us to have such reverence before God. And we see that it is really a glorious building without blemish. It's holy, full of gold, silver, precious stones, and acacia wood, and fine linen, with blue, purple, and scarlet, and also cherubim, full of glory. And these cherubim, they protect the glory of God. So that nothing that is wicked or nothing that would damage his glory would come in. Or nothing that is common would come in. On the one hand, it's the beauty of the Lord. And inside is the beauty of the Lord. And that's why in the Psalms it says, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever to behold his beauty. But on the other hand, it gives us a sense of reverence. We have to fear God. If we don't build in such a way, then it's no wonder that at the end it collapses. We have to have such a picture. We have to have such a picture. Lord Jesus. The Lord really has to show us. And this curtain, I'm sorry, the veil has 4 pillars. And they also stand on silver sockets. And there are also golden hooks. Everything is made of gold. It's no wonder that Paul says, build, please, not with wood, hay, and stubble. You cannot use these materials or with anything similar to wood, hay, and stubble, but with gold, silver, and precious stones. In such a way we should build the temple of God. If we use other materials, we destroy God's house. If you don't destroy it, then God himself will destroy it. This is not his house, and he won't want it. And maybe after we've gone through such an experience as we have in the last years, some saints maybe ask, okay, now what? And now how can we build? And what shall we do now? What should we do? We should build the church in such a way. So this is the way we should build the church, in such a way. And only with such a wonderful Christ as all the offerings are we in the condition to build his church. And that's why the Lord says only he can build a church. And only he can erect such a sanctuary. Moses, who built this sanctuary in the wilderness, he is a type of Christ who is faithful over God's house. And Moses was so faithful to build the sanctuary exactly according to God's instruction. And we have to appreciate this today. It's not one city, one church. Of what use is one city, one church if you don't build according to his pattern? There are materials for everything except for the ground. Is that not amazing? Astonishing? What kind of ground do we need? It's not about the ground, it's about the building. It is the building. What use is it for us to talk about the ground when the building is made of strange materials and built out of wood full of worms and termites and simply painted over and is not made with these wonderful materials? And if we go back to the coverings, what is the second covering made out of? Goat's hair. And why goat's hair? And the last two coverings, they are made of ram skin dyed red. And the outermost covering is made of badger skin. Do we build in such a way? What do the goat's hair signify? What does goat's hair signify? Often, goat's hair is used for the sin offering. This shows us that he who was without sin was made sin for us. But he did not have any sin. And that's why he became our sin offering, who took away the sin of the world. And this ram skins dyed red, this shows us that the Lord really gave himself for the sin of the world. He shed his blood. This also shows us the trespass offering. Shows us the blood of the Lord. And shows how much the Lord gave himself for us to fulfill all of this. The church is covered with these two skins. Goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, and then the outermost covering is made of badger skin. It is very resistant. Very resistant. Even as the children of Israel went through the wilderness, he gave them sandals made of badger skin. And those shoes, the sandals, never broke. Can you imagine going through the wilderness for 40 years and your sandals don't break? You should learn to make shoes out of badger skin. Today, are we that resistant? In the wilderness, there's the sun, the heat, the wind, the sand, and everything beats down. Do you think that in the church we will not be tested? Do you think the enemy will leave us alone? No, we will go through fire. We will go through problems. We will be challenged by the enemy. Are we resistant? Who is able to resist? Who is the true overcomer? Who was able to pass every test? Who could do that except for the Lord alone, himself? We say we want to be overcomers, but how? Alone? Will you be able to overcome alone? No. If you don't experience this wonderful Christ, how do you think you'll overcome? You can't overcome. Didn't Paul say, I can do all things alone? Yeah, praise the Lord, I'm so strong, I can do everything by myself. No, it says, through him who strengthens me. And where will you gain all of this? Oh, through Christ? But how? Through all these wonderful offerings. How important is the humanity of Christ? And through his humanity, you also receive the power of resurrection. And you can become partakers of this divine nature. And then you enjoy such a person, such a humanity that is so given, just like the burnt offering. Are you truly given and consecrated? As we are not consecrated. Yeah, maybe for a few hours. Maybe for things that we like or suit us. Yeah, then I'll give myself and then I'll consecrate myself. But our consecration is not reliable. But the consecration of the Lord is from beginning to end. He was obedient even to the death on the cross. Peter thought he was also able to do that. But of course he couldn't. We think we can. I am responsible for the church here and there. Only a fool would say that. We are not qualified and not capable to carry the responsibility. How much can you carry? How much weight can you carry and bear? Only the high priest can bear this. and only in the garment of the high priest could these two onyx stones with the 12 names of the sons of Israel engraved in them. Only the high priest could carry these two stones. Do you think you can bear all the saints? You'd rather kick them out and throw them out if they're too heavy a burden for you to bear. It's impossible. No one can bear this responsibility. Can you bear all of the New Jerusalem on your breast? Like all these 12 on the breastplate? Can you really bear the church in love alone without Christ? You can't do it at all. You are not able to do so. It is impossible. How can you carry the entire burden of the New Jerusalem on your breast? We think we can, but we cannot. No one can do this. That's why we need a great high priest. He can do this. And if we have such a great high priest who can bear all things, why do you want to bear everything on your own? Then you're dumb. Then I'm dumb if I do that. And if he's there, and he is so qualified, so capable of bearing everything, and then we still want to bear, and we tell him, Lord, let me try to bear it. Then no wonder at the end everything collapses. So may the Lord show us. What should we learn from all of this? What is the way to build the church? It is through the triune God. If you look at the tabernacle, and especially the sanctuary, and if you see it, what is the way? What is the way to build? It is through the materials. And what are these materials? The triune God in Christ, who today is the Spirit. So how do we build the church today? How do we build up the church? This is the way. It's not a method, it's not a principle. We cannot say that we are building on this principle. Leave this principle. Let it go. We build with the living Christ, who is our all in all. It is also so clearly stated. Who is this one who is in all and through all? It is so clearly stated. But we search for another way. And no wonder we haven't found it yet. We search for something that doesn't even exist. Then you can search for a long time. You can search forever.